Thank you for who you are. You are the beginning and the end of all things. You are Yahweh, the Alpha and the Omega. Father, we thank you and we bless your name this morning. Lord, as we go into your word, I ask that the power and the authority that backs your word shall be in operation this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray this will not be just an ordinary service. It shall be a service in which you take preeminence, in which you do only which you can do in the lives of your people. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your name forevermore. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Praise the living Jesus. Praise the living Jesus. Yes, we can put hands together for the Lord if you want. I want to bless the Lord this morning because it's another time to be blessed. It's another opportunity to draw from his well. And it's another time to touch the hem of his garment. I am believing God that you will be able to touch the hem of his garment this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Today, I will continue in the series which I tag Foundation for Establishment. I want to teach this morning and I want us to pay attention. But inasmuch as I want to teach, I also have instruction and direction from God to take about two or three key prayer points for every one of us. I may not be able to complete the series today, but wherever we get to, I will pause and I will continue next time. The first Sunday, I just gave a general introduction about foundation, important foundation, why it's necessary, why it's important. And the second Sunday, I tried to talk about the need to lay a good foundation for the year 2020. And last Sunday, we went into faith clinic where we are taking to another deeper dimension. And today, remember I promised you the last time that there's a question which we need to answer. And so this Sunday's message under our series is tagged Answering the Big Question. Answering the Big Question. Don't forget that we took our text from Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 19 to 20, but we are not going to read it this morning because of our time, and I don't want to rush too much. Answering the big question, Psalm 11, verse 3, is a question which we need to interrogate. I didn't say 1 John, I said Psalm 11. Verse 3, the book of Psalms, chapter 11, verse 3. And it says simply, why they are still trying to project it, that if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Please project it for people to see. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If I start by asking you to answer that question, some might say the righteous can do nothing. And if you say that, I will tell you, you are partially right and you are partially wrong. If you answer me and you say that the righteous can do something, I will tell you, you are partially right and you are partially wrong.
Then ask me the question. I will try and attempt to answer by saying this. If the foundation be destroyed, the righteous can do nothing until he has done something. Are you listening to me this morning? If the foundation is destroyed, the righteous can do nothing until he has done something. I told you earlier on that foundation is a secret. Only God can reveal it. Last Sunday, thank God, we look at the book of 2 Samuel. I want you to look at that verse of this passage we looked at last Sunday. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 16. I want you to look at that quickly. God bless you. And the channels of the sea appeared, and the foundation of the world were discovered at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. How can you see the channel of the sea? When you see a sea, you cannot see the foundation of the sea. Am I right? It's only God. It's when the Lord rebuked the sea that the foundation and the channel was seen. Foundation is a secret. Except the Lord reveals it. Let me tell you a story or a testimony. Some years ago, there was a beautiful sister, a very good sister, and close to my wife. I will not mention the name. I will not mention the profession, because some might know her. This somebody that was popular, that was, so to say, in the public space. And she was having series of marital problems. And she came to me for counsel and for prayer. And I began to pray for this sister. And as we were praying, I then started interrogating. I said, look, wait. You have been talking so much about your husband that even if I were to be a non-believer, I get a gun, I just go and shoot him at this man. But you know what? Tell me something. Was there any circumstances surrounding your birth? Then she told me, she paused. I said, sir, now I remember. When I was born, my mother told me that she took me to someone to divine how my life was going to be. And the man put something on my head then. And I said, now you have to go and ask. Was there specific things that man told your mom? And she said, now, told me that after asking my mom told me that I said, well, oh my, I want to walk back, But he didn't tell them. And I said, look, my dear sister, stop troubling yourself about your husband. This is where the problem is. We have to go back and uproot that thing. I think there was a kind of, yes, that was buried somewhere. And this is a born again sister. But all the years, she had been running in circles in this problem, not knowing that the problem was just linked to something, the foundation. So that said that if the foundation is destroyed, the righteous can do nothing until he has done something. But let me tell you something. No matter what the enemy has done to the foundation, the righteous can turn to the Lord. Because God is at the foundation. It's the beginning. He supervises the foundation. He supervises the end. Therefore, he can guide the in-between. So I will give you, this morning, I'm going to show a bit of teaching, and so that we'll look at some classic example of how the foundation of some people are wobbled, and how some did something and eventually was able to do so, and how some people also did some other thing and led to some other things. We cannot talk about things like this without looking at the book of Genesis. But let me tell you before we first go into this, that I want to know this. You can tamper with your foundation. The enemy can tamper with your foundation. But God has the power to rebuild and repair the foundation. Genesis chapter 49. I want us to look at it. I want us to look at the children of Israel. We are all spiritual Israelites. Am I right? So let's look at our roots. Genesis chapter 49. Please give me Genesis chapter 49. Now, I read from verse 1 to 4. And Jacob called unto his sons. I said, I'm reading from verse 1. I didn't ask to go to verse 2. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourself together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Verse 2. Gather yourself together and hear, you sons of Jacob, hearken unto Israel your father. Verse 3. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my strength and the beginning, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellence of dignity and the excellence of power. Verse 4. Verse 4. Unstable as water, thou shalt not exceed. Because thou went up to thy father's bed, then defy thou it. He went up to my couch. Now, Reuben was the first son of Jacob. And Jacob was now telling him that, look, you are the beginning of my strength. The first proof that I'm a man. And by right, you are, by birth, certain things were conferred on you, certain privileges of dignity, of preeminence. However, you will not exert. By that singular pronouncement, Israel had derobed Reuben and his generation. Reuben became an empty shell, even though he was still working and living as the firstborn. You know, in the Israel at that time, when you are the first son, the firstborn, when your father dies, if you are seven, when they wanted to divide the inheritance, they would divide into eight parts, not seven parts. The firstborn will have two slots. Every other person will have one slot. Those are the kind of preeminence, the honor that the Lord or the firstborn. At this point in time, Israel had 12 children. So automatically, his inheritance will be divided into 30 slots, not 12 slots. And the two slots will go to Reuben by right, by birth. But by this pronouncement of Jacob, the two slots were taken away. What was institutionally given to him by birth was legally taken away from him. So no matter whatever the generation of Reuben could do, they could not make a night way. They were supposed to be the heir, but they have been removed and be taken to Rhea. They were just to be backbencher. All their lives, all their efforts could not bring the expected result. That's one about Reuben. So all those people who came through him carried that body on their head. Remember, I told that first Sunday that when the father head is our grip, the teeth of the children are set on edge. Now let's go further. Verse 5. I will read to verse 7, 8, and then stop. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instrument of cruelty are in their habitation. Verse 6. Oh, my soul, come not thou into their secret. Unto their assembly, my honor be not thou united. For in their anger, they slew a man. In their assembly, they dig down a wall. Now, before you go, before you leave that, okay, now, let me, curse be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Now, go back to verse 5. I want to look at something there. Simeon, he said, Jacob said, Simeon and Levi said that they are the same thing. That the two of them are joining their destiny together. Because of what they did, he said, my honor should not be united with them. In other words, he dissociated his glory, he dissociated his honor, he dissociated his heritage from the lineage of Simeon and Levi. If you look at verse 6, look at it very well. Go to verse 6. Oh, my soul, come not thou into their secret unto their assembly. My honor be not united. And that said, my honor should not be associated with them. Now, what did Levi and Simeon did? We know the story of Reuben. Reuben went to sleep with the wife of his father. Do you remember? That was the sin of Reuben. Then what did Simeon and Levi did? Simeon and Levi, they had a sister called Dinah. And Dinah decided to take a walk into the camp of the heathen, into the house of Shechem. And there was a young chap of Shechem that saw her and took her and raped her. But after raping her, the guy did not even disown her. The guy came back with his father's house and begged Jacob, yes, we have defied your daughter. We have raped her, but we want to marry her. We don't want to cast her away. We don't want to leave her like that. Let us take her hand in marriage. And Simeon and Levi were very angry. And they deceived their father. They deceived the people. They said, don't worry. We are going to give our sister to you. But on what condition? No, we are circumcised. You are not circumcised. There is no relation between light and darkness. The only condition for us to agree that our sister will marry your son is that let all the male child in this city be circumcised. When they are circumcised like us, then we can allow that. And then those people went back. Can you imagine? And the whole city agreed because of one lady that they will become circumcised. And they were circumcised.
and Levi and Simeon, they waited until the third day when they were very, very, the first day could see our strength. On the third day when their strength was going, they were in pains, and they took their sword and went to the sea and killed every male child. And Jacob kept quiet. They had to run away. God asked him to move away from that place. So when the father was there about to leave, see, this is the blessing he gave them. It's not a curse, it's a blessing. God, the Bible says he was blessing his children. This is their own blessing. Or did the Bible say he wanted to curse them? It was a blessing. Their own blessings that is honor will not be united with them. So Reuben was disinherited. Then Simeon and Levi, they were disassociated. And the Bible said they will be scattered. So it became scattered all over Israel. Then we go further to verse 17. I want to look at one person who has a problem here. We know that among the children of Israel, we have three tribes that had a problem. One was Reuben, am I right? One was Levi, one was Simeon. Go to verse 17. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path, that biteth the horse ear, so that his rider shall fall backward. Meaning, Dan, oh, he says, no, he was saying that they are going to be deceptive and dangerous. How can you associate a man of blessing with serpents? Does that look positive? Does it? Say, it shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse, so that his riders shall fall backward. So from this, Genesis 49, four generations or four lineage of the 12 already have problems. And if later if you look at, if you go to the book of Judges, if you also go to the book of Leviticus, you find that the lineage of Dan, you find out that Dan, it was a time that one of the daughters of the house of Dan went to marry a son of Egypt against the law of the land. And the son that he gave birth to now came to the camp of Israel and was fighting with them and cursed the God of Israel. And Moses told them they should come and stone him. The one that I go to the book of Judges, that the children of Dan, the Bible said they raised up graven images for themselves and they were even looking for priests to come and be the priest over the graven image of Micah that they raised for themselves. So in this, but before I leave that passage, I want to look at something that, remember I said that there were supposed to be, at that point, the lot of Reuben had been taken away. But the two lot of Reubens, even though that were taken away, before that time, automatically Israel really replaced them. If you go to the book of Genesis chapter 48, let us see where it was replaced. Or where, who their lot were given. Genesis 48, 5 to 6, quickly. Genesis 48, 5 to 6. Now listen what Jacob was saying. And now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto you in the land of Egypt, before I came unto Egypt, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. They are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Look at verse 6. And the issue, we thou beget after them, shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. So the two lots of Reuben that were taken away have been given to Ephraim and Manasseh. Are you listening to? Are you following me?
Reuben had two slots. The two slots were taken away and were given to Manasseh and Ephraim. Because he said that those two ones, they are going to be like mine. So the way my children have inheritance, they are the way they will have inheritance. I pray that your own lot will not be taken away in Jesus' name. So we can see here that automatically, I want to be a boy.
So some generation had entered into trouble from beginning. If the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? Before I try to dilate further on this, I want us to just look at something, Isaiah chapter 58, verse 12. Peradventure, there's anyone who in his lineage, who is in generation, unknown to him, that the forefathers have stumbled and fumbled and faltered. Isaiah chapter 15, verse 12. And I want to look at it. Okay, let's read in English, KJV. We then look at Amplified. And they that shall be of you shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the path to dwelling. Let's look at the Amplified Version. Look at the Amplified Version. Can you give me an Amplified? Bring my iPad. Let me read Amplified. Now, and what? And your people shall rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up. Listen. You will raise up. And what? Restore the age-long foundation. Hallelujah. Of buildings that have been laid waste. You will be called repairer of breach. Restorer of street to dwelling. So, this is what the righteous can do. When you turn unto the Lord, the ancient ruins will be raised, the waste places will be restored, and the path to go to dwelling will be established. How do we see this one play now in the scripture regarding this generation we have seen? Those who follow this and those who refuse to follow, I want us to see quickly. Number one, I want us to look at Reuben. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 3. We start from verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 3. Go back to Deuteronomy, please. I told you I'm going to do some teaching this morning. As I told you, there's no problem that God has not provided a solution for. Nobody has any reason to be afraid and to be scared about his foundation, about his past, once you come to the path of the Lord. If you do something, you can do something about it. And that's something about turning to the Lord and crying to him. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 1. I just read verse 1 and jump to verse 6. Then we turned and went up the way of Bash. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 1, quickly. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. Remember, Jacob blessed his children before his death. Moses that led them now, out of language, now decided to bless them. And I want to see what happened. Now jump to verse 6 quickly. Let Reuben live and not die. And let not his men be few. Restorer of the ruins. Builder of the worst places. Reuben lost it. But when he came under the leadership of Moses, he made a huge deposit in his emotional bank in the course of the ministry. The deposit that Reuben made into the emotional bank of Moses was so much that when he was about going, he knew that there was a curse upon this guy. That he was living, but was an empty shell. He was a living corpse. He now said, "Let Reuben live." And by that, he removed the curse. Reuben must have done something. Reuben must have made a sacrifice. Reuben must have made a huge impact for Moses to know that I must not die. Go away and leave this guy with the curse. He said, "Let Reuben live and not die." With that, and you know, Jacob carried patriarchal authority. But Moses combined the authority of the priest with that of a messianic authority. You know, Moses was the mirror of Messiah in the Old Testament. Do you agree with me? A priest is not a Messiah, but a Messiah is also a priest. Because Jesus is our what? Is our what? A priest is not a Messiah, but a Messiah is a priest. He's even the chief priest. So, messianic authority is greater than the priestly authority, is greater than the patriarchal authority. So, if the foundation is destroyed, there is something the Russia can do. Come into the fold of God. Make a huge impact in the path of the law. And the worst place and the foundation will be repaired. Moses used the messianic authority to anoint what the patriarchal authority established. And that was the end of the story. But when you go to verse 22 of that same chapter 33, no, we said there are four generations. Reuben, Levi, Simeon, and what? Dan. Go to verse 22. What did he say about Dan? And of Dan, he said, "Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall live from Bashan." That was all. A lion's whelp, just a lion's cub. Lion is what? Oma Kenyu. That was all. Moses did not say more than that. So he didn't do anything about what was wrong in his foundation with his father. So that remained. Now remains how many now? Two. Who? Simeon and Levi. Now let's journey and follow me to book Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. Verse 26 to 28. And Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Then what happened? Verse 27. And he said unto them, "Thus said the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword in his side and go in and out from the gate and from gate to gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor." Verse 28. And the children of Levi did
according to the word of Moses. And there fell of that people that day about 3,000 men. Now, let's read for that. Verse, let's go to 29. For Moses has said, consecrate yourself today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing. I want to also read this one. It may not be too clear. Let's go to Amplified fashion. Look at verse 29 in Amplified. Can you show me, give me Amplified version? That Exodus chapter 32, verse 29.
Then Moses said to the Levites.
Now listen. Moses said to the Levites.
Dedicate yourself today to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
For each man
mm-hmm.
has been given his own son
mm-hmm.
and his own brother
mm-hmm.
in his attempt to escape execution so that he may restore and bestow his blessing on you this day.
Can you look at the Message Bible? Can you look at the Message Bible? Exodus chapter 32. Mm-hmm. By your obedience to God's command, God bless you. I want to listen to go back again. Read it again. Give her the microphone.
And Moses said to the Levite.
And Moses said to the Levite.
By your obedience to God's command.
By your obedience to God's command.
You have consecrated yourself today.
You have consecrated yourself today.
As priest to the Lord.
As priest unto the Lord.
Each man at the cost of being
mm-hmm.
against his own son
mm-hmm.
and his own brother.
At the cost of what? Read it again.
At the cost of being
mm-hmm.
against his own son
mm-hmm.
and his own brother, that the Lord may restore and bestow his blessing upon you this day.
Amen. Now, let me read again in Amplified Version. And Moses said to Levites, by your obedience to God's command, you have consecrated yourself today as priest to the Lord. Each man at the cost of being against his own son and his own brother, that the Lord may restore and bestow his blessing upon you today. That God may restore and what? Bestow. So by that singular action, Moses now said, look, you are now restored. Restoration has come. Now you, by this thing you have done, today you are consecrated. You are confirmed. You are established as priest. And God has restored the thing that you are. And you know that the destiny of Levi and Simeon were joined together. Because it was the same cause. So by the acting of Levi, the cause that was placed was lifted. And what was lifted, Simeon benefited. So it was what the children of Levi did. Moses also, by his messianic authority, removed that cause. So what are we saying? There's something that the righteous can do about whatever went wrong. Nobody has any reason to say it's because of this. Because God is the author of the beginning and the end. And I say to anybody this morning, I pray this prayer if I came here. And I'm still going to pray this prayer this morning. If anybody has come to this service today, if anybody is watching me online anywhere in the world, and you are under any curse for your background, from your beginning, today, by the anointing of the living God, I erase that curse. I uproot that foundation of evil in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now listen to me. But we are two people who have three gifts. Who are they? Ephraim and Manasseh. But when Reuben made huge deposits to get back, to remove the curse, while Levites were restored, unfortunately, Ephraim missed it. Let me tell you, I won't go into the scriptural references because of our time. Let me tell you, remind you quickly of the story of Ephraim. Ephraim was the younger brother. Manasseh was the elder. When Joseph was about going, Israel, Jacob, was about to die, he asked Joseph to bring his two sons because he adopted them as his own. The way he blessed the 12 children, he wanted to bless those two too. And Joseph, being a traditional man, Joseph was the father. Joseph was the father of Ephraim and Manasseh. So I know what I'm saying. So Joseph, being a traditional man, he brought Manasseh and Ephraim to Jacob. He put Manasseh on the right hand side and put Ephraim on the left hand side according to their ages. But Jacob knew what he wanted to do. He couldn't see by reason of age, he had lost his sight. So the Bible said that what did Jacob do? He crossed his hand. Joseph removed said, no, I know what I'm doing. Bible says he guided his hand carefully. Said, no. My boy, you are too small in this kind of trick. I've played this kind of trick before. Said, don't dribble me. I know what I'm doing. Because I cannot see in my hands, I can see in the spirit. And Joseph protested, no. Said, Daddy, that cannot be. And Jacob said, look, he will also be great. But however, this one will be greater. And when you look at the kind of blessing that Jacob poured on Ephraim, he put Ephraim above Manasseh. According to the blessing of Jacob, Manasseh was 10 times. Right, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 17 quickly. Let's look at it quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 17 quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 17. I don't have the time. Please let us be fast. Deuteronomy. Verse 17. Now, like a firstling, young bull, his majesty is, and his own like the horns of the white ox. With them he shall push the people, all of them, to the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. 10,000s of what? What? 10,000s of Manasseh. Ten thousand of Ephraim by thousands of Manasseh. So Ephraim was to be 10 times. And at a point in time, the whole of Israel was being called Ephraim. So Ephraim carried great blessing. But why Levite moved from curse to consecration? Ephraim moved away from blessing to become an outcast in the commonwealth of Israel. Levites move from curse to consecration. But Ephraim retrogressed and became an outcast in the commonwealth of Israel. Why? How did this happen? Go to Hosea chapter 4, verse 17 quickly. We'll soon round up. I will pause from here and we'll continue next time. Hosea chapter 4, verse 17. Quickly. Ephraim is joined to hide us. Let him alone. May God not leave you alone. No matter the anointing and the grace you carry, the moment God leaves you alone, You are a walking corpse. You are done for. Say, he's joined to the idols. He carried my blessing. But he decided of his own to be joined to idols. Let him alone. I'm no longer with him. It's his choice. I don't know the choice that somebody wants to make this morning. Look at the choices. Somebody moved from curse to consecration. And somebody abandoned the grace, the blessing, and went to idols. And when you go to chapter 7 of that same Hosea, go quickly. Hosea chapter 7, verse 8 to 11, quickly. Hosea chapter 7, verse 8 to 11. Ephraim, he had mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake, not torn. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knew it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knew it not. Verse 11. Can somebody read verse 11 for me, please? Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt and they go to Assyria. It's a silly dove. It's a cake, not tongue. He has joined himself to the idols. Leave him alone. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 32, verse 28, it said that remove not the ancient landmarks. Right foundation was built for Ephraim, but Ephraim removed that foundation. You have children who come from the household of faith, but they move that foundation. And they move to something else. He said, Ephraim is a cake, not torn. Leave him alone. He has joined to idol. Leave him alone. Let him alone. If you look at Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1, I want us to read that one. Isaiah 51, verse 1, quickly. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence you are him, and to the hole of the pit whence you are digged. You are a child of God. You are the author of faith. Please don't remove that move you from that foundation. No matter the amount of blessing that we are pouring in the church, that any anointment might be pouring, don't move away from the foundation of God. There are choices this morning. Choice to rebuild foundation and choice to destroy foundation. If your foundation is wrong, you can rebuild. And finally, before I pause, I want us to look at how did it end for these people. Revelation chapter 7. Verse 5 to 8. From there, I'm going to pause, we'll pray, and I'll continue next time. We've seen the Genesis, now let's go to Revelation, verse 5. Now, I want to listen very well. Of the tribe of Judah. See, let's start from verse 4 so that you can understand what I'm trying to say. Because here, the Bible was trying to tell us what's going to come at the last day. In the time of tribulation, that even when we would have gone by that time by the grace of God, but we have no part in that. But for those who will still be around by the mercy of God, some people misinterpret this passage to say the only 144,000 will be saved. That's a lie. It's among the recalcitrant people who are left behind, those of us who have gone. But by the mercy of God, because of his covenant with Abraham and Jacob and Isaac, say he will still save 144,000, 12 tribes. Let's look at how God now begins to look at the tribe so that you see. It says, and I heard the number of them which were seed, and their seed are 144,000
of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Remember, Jacob was one that came with Israel. Now, go to verse 5. Of the tribe of Judah were 12,000, which means Judah made it. Okay? Of the tribe of Reuben, because Reuben had been restored, were 12,000. Reuben made it. He repaired the foundation. Of the tribe of Gad were 12,000. Gad made it. Go on, verse 6. Of the tribe of Asher were 12,000. Asher made it. Of the tribe of Naphtali were 12,000. Naphtali made it. Of the tribe of Manasseh. Manasseh was not part of the original 12. Do you remember? Were 12,000. Manasseh made it. Of the tribe of Simeon was 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi was 12,000. God, Levi made the sacrifice, made it, and then the curse on him and Simeon was lifted. Of the tribe of Issachar was 12,000. We go to verse 8. I think that's the end, but go to verse 8. Know that. Okay, of the tribe of Zebulun was 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph was 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin, that's the last one, was 12,000. Now here, do you know what's happening here? Dan was missing. And Ephraim also was missing. Simeon made it. Levi made it. Reuben made it. If the righteous, if the foundation is destroyed, the righteous can do nothing until he has done something. Reuben did something. He made it. Levi did something. He made with Simeon. But Ephraim did the wrong thing and he missed it. And Manasseh took over. Manasseh replaced Ephraim. What am I trying to say this morning? We have choices to make. Don't let us joke with foundation. You are being taught in the church. You are being put on the solid foundation. My friend, don't play with it. You are being given the word of God in Bible study on Wednesday, in prayer meeting on Friday, in church service on Sunday. Don't play with it. Your friend had this great blessing. He played with it. He missed it. But no matter the cost that Reuben had, that Levi had, because of what they did, they made it. You will make it. And say, so you will make it. I just take this verse and then we are going to pray. And next time I will continue. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 5 to 7, quickly, and we're going to stand up to pray. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 5 to 7. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." Verse 6. And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in either, and the iron did swim. Verse 7. Therefore said he, "Take it up to thee," and he put out his hand and took it. This morning, if there's anybody whose iron head has fallen off because of what you have done, so I want to tell you that today, because you are here, and today because you are listening to me, you are hearing me online, you are watching me anywhere in the world, as we begin to pray now, and you decide to shift to the side of the Lord, any iron head that has fallen from your hand will begin to swim, and you get it again, and you hold it, and you will make it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I want to stand on your feet now. I want you to begin to look, fix your gaze upon the throne of God this morning. We are before the Lord, the God of heaven and the earth. The God that repairs foundations. The God that rebuilds the ruins and the waste places. I want you, first of all, to begin to ask God, if there's anything in your background, in your foundation, that the enemy has been laying hold onto. And I'll be using that one to store or withstand your prayers. Begin to cry unto God of Israel this morning. That God of heaven and earth, that God that revealed the foundation of the sea, there's nothing that's impossible for God to do. Don't let anybody scare you. There's no problem at all. If you press the right channel with the channel of Jesus, begin to ask that every wrong thing in your foundation, begin to pull it down right now. Begin to ask that the fire of the Holy Spirit will begin to burn every wrong implantation in your background, in your foundation. Foundation is a secret. Only God can reveal it. If there's anything that the enemy is hiding, with which is buffeting and oppressing you, begin to add that the fire of the Holy Spirit will expose it and burn it. Manseke popo, rehus sai gaburi ba, rekus kababakuske. You are running from pillar to post. You have been praying, you have been fasting, you have been wondering what is happening unto me. Is God no longer my God? Is God no longer alive? No, God is still your God. God is still alive. But something has to give way for something to come in. Meso kaila guri baba. Ya urogasiga yugabuskinga yugahiga uramasainda. Yenguska yinga rumusigagaga. Reyugaguska mbakuriba. Eyiga sungeria. Ayalukaskimbu yulabasuliba. Ayintraliba bakuskindeliba. Eyugarumuskenge. Yerema sangalie. Herugo sobo. Ha. Manseko. Hey. Meruga hila guriba. Rehuga sadaluga. Rahuga gagaga sandalaba. Mehus kekekeke. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, before I go further, let me tell you, if you are in the church this morning, you are yet to give your life to Christ. You know you are not living in Christ. You come to church quite all right. But yourself, no. All eyes closed, please. But yourself, no. You are not yet in the way of the Lord. This is a time to repair that foundation. You have been hearing the word of God. You are just saying, well, you come and go and go away. Don't be like you frame. But this morning, you are in a position to come to do something. You can lift your right hand anywhere you are. I'm going to pray for you if I go further. So that all other prayer we are going to pray will be meaningful. If you are here, you want to say, Lord, I give my life to you. I surrender to you. I come clean to you. I want to say, my Lord, I say, if you are here, lift your right hand anywhere you are in the congregation. I want to pray with you. I want to bless you with the blessing of God. We bless your salvation. So that we'll be sure that God bless you. God bless you. I'm still waiting for others. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I give you about 30 more seconds to join this once. I give you 30 more seconds to join this one. You want to say, Lord, I give my life to you this morning. Want to say, Lord, I surrender my life unto you. Want to say, Lord, I come unto you. I shift my location so that I can stand on a solid foundation. I don't want to deceive myself again. Many people are deceiving themselves. They think by coming to church, they are okay. They think by joining a subgroup, you are in choir, you are ushering, you are in sanctuary keeper, I say, they are okay. It's a lie. Don't stand on wrong foundation. The only foundation is the Christ, is the salvation. As I want to pray for these ones, I'll pray for this one first before I go to other prayer. Those of you who are lifting yourself, tell me, Lord Jesus, I thank you for this morning, for the privilege you are giving me to come onto your side, to come and stand upon the rock of ages. So this morning I pray for forgiveness of my sin. Forgive me of my past. Lord, write my name in the book of life. Make me one of your children. And from now onward, I declare I stand upon the rock of ages. I stand upon the solid foundation laid by Christ. And now I move forward in life, triumphant and victorious in the mighty name of Jesus. Now put your right hand on your head as where you are standing, and I'm going to pray for you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these ones who are surrendering their lives unto you now. Father, I ask that you write their names in the book of life. I pray from today onward, they will stand upon the rock of ages that cannot be moved, and you keep them to eternity. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, I want to pray. Everybody, stand on your feet for a minute. I will take a few minutes to pray this morning. While I was preparing for this message, I was praying in the course of this night, and I was praying with my wife yesterday night, stroke this morning, and the Lord showed three revelations in the course of the time we were praying. And because we are praying particularly for this message and for this service, the revelation, I know that is not a personalized revelation. It's a revelation for the church, because what the only thing we are praying for is to this service and the congregation of the church this morning. The first thing that God showed was that there was a green field, very, very green. And in that green field came up a beautiful building. And I was asking God, what does this mean? Remember Psalm 23? Said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. He lead me what? He restored. Go on. You have jumped the great pasture. You have jumped it. Go back. Go back. They have given you a rejo. Okay. Let's read then. He restored my soul. No, go, no, 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 no. We have this. No. Go back to verse 1. Go back to one, verse 1. Not verse 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now if you go to verse 2, he says that he maketh me to lie down in green. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. He made me to lie down. So after you have been wanting, you have been longing, you have been thirsting, suddenly great pasture appear. Because I was asking my wife, what's meaning of this revelation? I need to meditate more about it. And I believe what God is saying, there are some who have been longing, who have been thirsting. But this year you forgot to find great pasture. And the house in the midst of, I feel that it's a place of rest, a place of refuge, a place of habitation, a place of settlement. So this morning I want to pray into it. So that I said, I will take. I'm sorry if I'm taking more time this morning, but I wanted to teach. But God gave me direct to also pray. So this is revelation for the church. So I want to pray that any longer, I'm going to round up the prayer later on. But you to also pray. I'll give you the revelation. Every area where you have been longing, this year the Lord will bring to great pasture. So I will satisfy your soul. Another side, you also know have rest. That house, a place of habitation, a place of rest. It's a place of settlement, it's a place of establishment. Those who are longing to be get settled, maybe in jobs, maybe in families, maybe in home, that Lord will set you this year. That Lord will quench your thirst. That Lord will feed you with what you require. That Lord will nourish you. Maska papa. Rekekeske po shanda, ranga supo po shupo di baba santa laba. Rekuske po shondo liga. In the mighty name of Jesus. Quickly, please, I will give you this. I want open your eyes. Please, when you get back home, go and pray more into it. I don't want to waste too much time because I've already spent more than enough time. Secondly, the Lord gave the second revelation. As I was still meditating on that one, there was a revelation of a new baby just placed on a bed. And I said, look, I'm no longer, I've retired long ago. I hung my boots at least more than a decade ago. So I'm not looking for any new child. And I believe that this year, we pray the pregnant women among us will deliver safely. Those who are having delay in child bearing, those who are looking for fruit of womb, the Lord will answer them this year. Pray into it quickly. Maska papa. Pray. Skapapa shinta. Rakus kebobobo soboliba. Rekus keboboska. Rekoko sopolibaba. Rangashina. And if you are pregnant, put your hand on your stomach with the baby in your womb. If you are looking for the fruit of your womb, put your hand on your stomach as you pray this prayer. You are pregnant, and I mean, thank God, this baby, I will bring him or her out safely. I will save the baby you save. And you are looking for the fruit of womb. Say, this year, I'm going to conceive. I'm going to deliver a new baby. This year, put it on your stomach. Maska papa. Rakaska papa. Rikekekes. And there's somebody you want to stand for. You can pray on behalf of somebody who is not in the church or who is close to you or who is dear to you. Pray this prayer. Maska papa. Ragagus kabalaga. Ragagas sandalaga. The spirit of God cannot lie. Maska papa, rekuskebo, roboskebo, rubas kandalaba, rekuskaba, reensekebo shandalaba. In the mighty name of Jesus, the third revelation quickly. Please, these three things, go back home and pray about it. I don't want us to. I actually was considering, should I just not talk too much, pray? But I said, look, I have to do it too. So go and pray more about this one. The third one, if I round up, as we are rounding up the prayer, in fact, we are already about singing the Thanksgiving song to round the prayer. There was another revelation. There was a big shelf. On that shelf, there are different kind of Ankara new dresses. And I said, what's the meaning of this? And drop in my spirit, this year is for celebration. It's for celebration. It's for celebration. This year you'll be celebrated. This year you'll be celebrated. This year you'll be celebrated. This year you're turning to prayer. Maska papa, rakakaka, makasa paliga, rakakaka sampala. You have garment of praise, garment of joy, garment of rejoicing. You'll be celebrated. Those of you who are looking for promotion, you'll be promoted. Those of you who are looking for lifting, you'll be lifted. Those of you who are looking for breath, you'll get breakthrough. Maska papa, rangas kapa, rekus kebo shente liba, raansi kapaba sata laba, rekus kebo shanta laba. In Jesus' name we are praying. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I bless your name for your word. Lord, I pray for those who are in this auditorium now and those who are watching me anywhere in the world that this morning, whatever is strong in their pantheon, in their past, Lord, today will be repaired in the mighty name of Jesus. If there's anybody who is wandering away and wonder at your presence, you bring back your presence and your counsel in the mighty name of Jesus. For those of them who are longing and thirsting, whatever they are longing for, they are thirsting for this year, Lord God, you will satisfy their desires. This year, they will be established, they will be settled. In the mighty name of Jesus. For the pregnant women in our midst, this year, they will give us safely. In the mighty name of Jesus. For those of the people who are looking for the food of the womb, even if they are watching me online, this year you open their womb, they are going to conceive and they'll give birth in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for all those who are watching and who are here now, this year they will be celebrated. They will be promoted. They will be promoted. They will be recognized. We have their joy. You get a garment of praise, raiment of joy. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus we pray. I'll continue next time. God bless you.